You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
What is going on in Canceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm glad that you are back checking us out during the Christmas holiday break. I hope you had a great Christmas. Definitely not recording this before Christmas actually happened or anything like that. It's definitely not the same outfit that I'm wearing on the last episode that we just did. Anyway, so glad that you guys decided to tune in. This week, I'm going to be showing you guys a teaching that I did with my Impact leaders at a pre-service, which if you don't know what pre-service is, every single Wednesday at 5:50, I have a meeting with my youth leaders, and I just do a teaching with them. We pray together. We, you know, check in. But I did a teaching. It would have been at this time, not this last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before. I did a teaching with them on should Christians drink alcohol. And so I know this is a controversial topic, but I want to do a teaching on it and come at it from a biblical perspective to the best of my ability. And so what I ask you to do is to open your mind and to listen to this teaching. And, you know, perhaps it may challenge some ways that maybe you've thought before in the past, but hopefully it'll bless you, encourage you most importantly, and encourage you to just keep following God and what His Word says. But like I said, this is definitely not, you know, because I just didn't want to come in during the Christmas break or anything like that. I definitely didn't do it for that reason or anything like that. I totally was going to come in on Thursday during Christmas break and record this. So if you can't tell, the pauses mean that I'm just kidding. I just want to make sure that we're clear. Everybody's crystal clear here. Ben, why don't you just peek your head in on the camera real quick just to say hey to everybody. Yeah, get your head right nice and close. Oh, yeah. He's definitely not wearing the same outfit that he's about to wear for Rate That Crumble Cookie, and we're definitely not recording this before we do Rate That Crumble Cookie from last week. Anyway, that was a lot of definitely nots, but I think you guys get the point, and I think you're ready for the teaching. So enjoy this teaching, and make sure to comment any questions, comments, anything like that. I know that a couple people have actually been commenting recently, so I appreciate that. But check out this teaching on if Christians should drink alcohol. Check it out. All right, now let's get into the teaching. I have a good amount of time. Is this being recorded right now, Ben? Oh, great. I wanted this recorded. I talked with someone on the phone today that helped me with this teaching. I don't know why I'm trying to act like it's a secret or anything like that. I talked to Pastor Ted on the phone today to ask him a little bit about this as well, and it really blessed me. And so some of this material I was able to receive from him because I wanted some wisdom from somebody about this. I also consulted Pastor Frank as well on this teaching because it is a little bit controversial. And I want to ask you to do something tonight as I teach. I'm going to do my best to try to teach this accurately, but I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Open yourself up to hear from the Word of God tonight and to hear what I'm saying to you. Open your heart to what I'm saying. Sometimes when an idea or topic is presented, we may have feelings about that idea or topic already, and it can be difficult to open our mind for to be changed. You know, somebody starts talking about something you feel passionate about or something that you enjoy, and it can be easy to shut down and not receive from anything that's being said simply because you feel some type of way about the topic. Do you guys get what I'm saying? Does everyone know where I'm coming from when I say this? And so I ask you to open up your mind. I talk about what I'm going to talk about tonight out of a place of love, not out of a place of judgment or a place of condemnation or anything like that. I genuinely have been feeling in my spirit for about 3 weeks now that I should be teaching on this, but I just kept on pushing it off, if I'm being honest with you, because it was going to take some time and study for me to get to. But I finally got to it this week. And I thought that before prayer and fasting would be a good time to really get into this. Because as we fast before the Lord, I want us to be in one accord and understanding. I want to talk to you about Christianity and alcohol. Christianity and alcohol. And I want to discuss whether or not a Christian should drink alcohol or not. I want to tell you this first and foremost. My opinion changed on this. When I first got serious about God, I thought it was okay to drink alcohol. And that was, I thought that I grew up in a very Italian culture where my grandparents drank alcohol, and my grandparents are great people, but they drank alcohol, they did all of those things. So I understand culturally why it would be appealing to drink alcohol and why that fits into one's culture. So I get that, I understand that. But something that I learned to understand as I began to grow in the Lord is that my culture comes second to Christ. My culture comes second to Christ. So, you know, people will often excuse things with, well, that's what my culture does. Okay, but we have to look at what our culture does through the lens of the Bible. You know, I've heard, and I'm not trying to, you know, hate, I'll choose my group of people, the Latins, right? People of Latin culture. You know, strong woman in Latin culture. And, you know, well, I'm just a strong woman. You know, my family's from, you know, my family's Italian. My family's, you know, Spanish. My family's this. And so, you know, we you know, tell the men what to do. We boss them. Okay, that's nice that that's your culture, but is that what the Bible says? No. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. It says that the husband is the head of the wife. So it doesn't matter that that's what your culture says. We have to look through the lens of the Bible. Now, granted, there's many things in culture that it's not wrong to look at. In Italian culture, we eat pasta on Sundays. Okay, whatever. Great. Awesome. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's totally okay to do something like that. But I need to look at my culture through the lens of the Bible. And what I want to challenge you with is to think for yourself today. Think for yourself today. We can grow up in cultures and mindsets because we have been told that by our parents for our entire life. And not that anybody's parents are bad people. I'm not suggesting that whatsoever. What I'm saying is we can grow up with cultures where our parents tell us things, and that's all that we've ever known. That's all that we've ever been exposed to. But sometimes kind of going outside of your bubble, you could be exposed to some things. When I went to North Point, it opened my eyes to a lot of things. It opened my eyes to a lot of things that I realized were wrong, but it also opened my eyes to a lot of things that I realized, you know what, I've seen the other perspective, and now I know that this is right. You see what I'm saying? So I want to challenge you to open your mind today and really listen to what I have to say. This is Pastor Frank's view as well, what I'm going to talk about. So let's start here as it pertains to Christians and drinking. In Ephesians 5:18, and you guys can write these scriptures down, you can go to them. Ephesians 5:18, it says, do not be drunk with wine, for that will ruin your life. Instead, be full of the Holy Spirit. So the first thing that we see that we can say with absolute certainty as it relates to Christianity and drinking is the Bible clearly commands that we should not get drunk on wine, right? We shouldn't get drunk with alcohol. Drunkenness is never an appropriate thing for a Christian to do. The Bible says to be filled with the Holy Spirit instead. So that's the first thing I want to point out. The second thing is the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9, 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. It says to be of sober mind. Be of sober mind. And then it tells us that our enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Our viewpoint evolves a little bit further with this. It says be of sober mind. Be of sober mind. So now we can even evolve into this that, okay, yes, don't get drunk, but I need to make sure that my mind is 100% sober or not intoxicated by anything else. So the Bible says to be of sober mind. The Bible says not to get drunk. Go to Proverbs 20, verse 1. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to build a baseline for us to be able to kind of build from, because I realize that people may have different viewpoints on this. But what I attempt to do is to present to you the viewpoint of the Bible to the best of my ability. It says this, wine produces mockers. Alcohol leads to brawls. Those led astray by drink cannot be wise. And so the Bible says that wine is a mocker. Wine is a mocker. Wine makes people a mocker. So what we know without a shadow of a doubt is that the Bible warns against dangers of excessive alcohol consumption. We can very easily determine that. That in when there's excessive alcohol or when there's alcohol present, there is dangers that can be presented by that. We know that alcohol ruins people's lives. The Bible says don't get drunk on wine, for that'll ruin your life. So alcohol can ruin people's lives. And so now we turn into more of the nitty-gritty topics, because I don't think that really there's a Christian out there, that at least a smart Christian out there, that would say it's okay to get drunk. No Christian that really believes the Bible is advocating for drunkenness, right? That's a fair point. And often people will comment, well, I can have a glass of wine. And I'll tell you this first and foremost. Fine, you can have a glass of wine. But do you have the self-control to keep it from becoming two? Okay, fine. Do you have the self-control to keep yourself from becoming two? The minute that we become buzzed, we are now in sin. People don't realize this. They'll say, well, I'm not drunk. I'm just kind of buzzed right now. Or I can kind of feel a calmness that's coming over me right now. I feel that buzz. It feels good. But I'm not drunk right now. But the Bible says to be of sober mind. The minute that I'm buzzed, and I did research on this as well. I'm not just telling you my opinion. I Googled if when you're buzzed, if you're in your 100% right mind or not. And the answer was no. I looked it up online. It says, when you are buzzed, you are under the influence. You are intoxicated by alcohol if you are buzzed. You are not of sober mind. And so the minute that I become buzzed, I am not of sober mind. The minute that I become buzzed, I prove that I cannot control myself as it pertains to drinking alcohol. As soon as I become buzzed, I prove to myself that I cannot control myself as it pertains to alcohol. If somebody says, I'm going to have a glass of wine, okay. But the minute that you begin to now venture to say that you become buzzed, you show, okay, you cannot control yourself. I'll kind of give you an example of what I'm talking about. There's this guy that was one of my professors. His name was Pastor Tim. Great guy. He had a very big church. And he had people on his staff that would come to him and say, Pastor Tim, I know that you don't like for us to drink, but I think it's okay for me to have a glass of wine. And he'd look at them and he'd say, I'll make you a deal. And they say, okay. He said, I'll make you a deal. You can have your glass of wine, but the minute that you become buzzed, you make an agreement with me that we agree that you can't control yourself and that you should not be drinking, period. And they said, oh, Pastor, I don't get buzzed. I don't get drunk. No problem. I'll make that agreement with you. He said, almost every time the pastor came back to him and said, Pastor, you were right. I can't control myself. I don't know what my limit is. I just don't. And the reality is, it's very hard to discover what that limit really is without putting it to the test. And so many times these pastors have come to him and said, you know, I can't do this because you're right. One glass of wine can get me buzzed. And also, what is drunk? This is a great question to ask. The Bible says not to be drunk on wine. What is drunk? Is drunk what Connecticut says is drunk? is drunk what New York says is drunk? Because each one of these states have a blood alcohol level that they say is drunk. Let me propose this question. If the government has a standard for what drunk is, do you think that God's standard is higher or lower than the government's standard? Whose standard is higher? God's standard or the government's standard? And so, my blood alcohol is 0.06 and in Connecticut it's 0.07 or something like that. Okay. I would argue this. We are drunk the minute that we are not of sober mind. How much alcohol does it take for you to act in a way that you wouldn't act if you didn't have that drink? How much alcohol does it take for you to act in a way that you would not act if you did not drink? What is drunk? See, something that frustrates me in Christianity, especially in America, is we toe the line with sin. We toe the line with sin. We put our foot as close as we can to the line. But what I want to encourage you with this is with this. The Bible says that wine is not fit for kings. The Bible says that in Proverbs 31, verse 3 through 4. It says that wine is not fit for kings. Here's what I want to encourage you with. You are a king. You are a royal priesthood, the Bible says. Bring yourself up to a higher place of living and calling. There are great things that are in store for your life. I heard Pastor Ted say this to me today. I want to read it to you. He said this, vision has parameters. Vision has parameters. And it blessed me so much when he said that and he explained it to me. He said, vision has parameters. Parameters of things to do and parameters of things to not do. Parameters of things to do so you can reach the thing that you have vision for. And then also parameters of things not to do so that you can reach the thing that you have vision for. When it comes to alcohol, the Bible says it's not fit for kings. And the Bible says wine is a mocker. So let me ask you, are you a king or are you a mocker? Wine is not fit for kings. You are royalty in the eyes of God. You are a royal priesthood of God. Why toe the line, guys? Why get near the line? Why get close to it? Why even try to find out what it is? Why even try to figure it out? See, I love what Daniel says. Daniel said that he didn't even want to do anything, and I'm paraphrasing, that might offend God. I love that. That might offend God. I want to be so far from the line as a person that lives before the Lord that I don't even want to partake in that. I don't even want to go near it. And I'll be honest with you, I said this already. I had a very different view on this before I really went away and studied the Word of God for years. I thought differently about these things. But God really changed me in my heart to help me understand these things. Because like I said, I had a different view on this. So if you're of a view that's different, I'm not hating on you. I don't not like you. I'm telling you, I've been there before and I understand why you may have this viewpoint. But I want to encourage you today to reconsider that view. The only conversation to have, by the way, as it pertains to if a Christian should drink, is wine. It's the only conversation to have. Because in the Bible, people did in fact drink wine. And so this then presents the question that people will often ask, well, if people in the Bible drank wine, how come I can't drink wine? Here's what I would tell you. First and foremost, I cannot definitively tell you that if somebody has one glass of wine that they are sinning. I would not say that. Somebody has one glass of wine that they are not sinning, or that they are sinning. They have a glass. Okay, you're sinning. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying this. I am saying it depends on who you are. Not personal conviction. Are you a male or are you a female? How much do you weigh? How much food have you eaten today? And I'm speaking from experience, by the way. This is not just like some guy that, like, you know, never tried alcohol before that's giving you his take on alcohol. I've had alcohol before. But all those things matter, because one glass of wine can intoxicate one person while not intoxicating another person. The only way you find out is if you play with it. The only way you find out how much is really for you is if you play with it. Also, wine is very different today than it is than it was back then. There's this historian, his name is Pliny. Pliny. He was an historian from the New Testament, and he wrote about the different historical things that took place. If you're studying New Testament in Bible college, you'll learn about him. And Pliny, he wrote about alcohol in that day, and he said how the alcohol was made. And he said it was one part alcohol to eight parts water, minimum. Or even at highest, one part to eight, to 16 parts water. One part alcohol to 16 parts water. The alcoholic content in that day was so different than what we experience in today's society. It's not even close to the same thing. And that's historically proven. Pliny is a historical resource. Wine today is not even diluted. Hardly diluted. It's not the same as it was back then. Wine is so much more diluted back then. And when they drank it, it was much different than what it is today. It's not the same thing. They're two completely different things. Another thing is that drinking is correlated with sin in our culture. The actions that surround drinking are not actions that you should be a part of. The actions that surround drinking are not good. The environments that drinking take place are not places that Christians should be a part of. So that's wine. Wine itself, okay, a glass of wine, I'm not going to sit here. And if you decide still after this teaching that you want to have a glass of wine, I'm not going to sit there and point a finger at you and say that you're sinning. However, if that glass of wine turns into you becoming buzzed, turns into two glasses of wine, or if you have a history with getting drunk before, you clearly can't handle it. That is clearly saying that I do not have self-control over this area in my life. Why am I even going back to this again? I've already proven that I can't handle it before. I've gotten drunk. Why would I do this again? I can't control myself. And this really comes from, and I want to be clear, I can't legislate this. What did I say last week? Morality is not legislated. I cannot just give you a list of rules and say to you, follow them and expect everyone's going to follow it. Because morality does not come from rules. Morality comes from a place of our hearts where we say, God, yes, I want to please you with everything that I have. And I know that in this area, I have not had self-control in the past. So I don't want to go back to that well again. But wine's the only conversation that we should even be having. Any Christian that says that drinking whiskey, vodka, any of that stuff is okay, is out of their mind. There is no precedent in the Bible for any of those things. The only precedent that you can even have a conversation about is wine. The minute that we move to strong drink, we're out of biblical parameters. There was no whiskey back then. There was no vodka back then. All of these things are designed to do one thing, and that's to get you drunk. Whiskey, vodka, Marsala, whatever you want to drink. All that stuff is designed to intoxicate. You know how I know that it's a load of garbage when people tell me that they enjoy the taste of alcohol? Because the only people that ever say that are people who are Christians who drink. Christians who drink, or people who are alcoholics that need to get their fix on it. Because I talk to people who aren't saved, which is one of the things that I would encourage you to do. Because talking to unsaved people will help you understand perspectives. I tell this story many times, but I'll tell it again. Me and my friends were at Yankee Stadium. They went and they got a drink. They got a Coke with, I think it was whiskey in it. And they came back. And I said to them, I'm just curious. Does that taste better than a regular Coke? And they laughed at me. And we're like, no. And I was like, what do you mean no? And they were like, why would you even ask that? Alcohol is disgusting. This is someone, I promise you, this guy is a partier. He gets hammered every weekend. He texts me drunk all the time. This is someone that drinks. Like, their liver is probably in shambles right now because of how much they drink. And they're like a fish the way they drink. And they tell me, they said to me, yeah, like, no, it's disgusting. And I was like, why do you drink then? Like, I genuinely was like, why do you drink? To get drunk. And I said to him, I said, so like, do people like drink like alcohol for like enjoyment of taste? And he went, that's weird. That's what he said to me. He said, that's weird. He goes, people that do that are weird. He's like, I don't drink it for enjoyment. He goes, I drink it to get drunk. And I was like, okay, sorry I asked, man. But like, I was like, you know, whatever. And I laughed when he told me this because I was like, oh, so like, it's not like something wrong to say that people don't like the taste of alcohol. They like the way that it makes them feel. I saw an Instagram ad, which I don't know why this was coming across my Instagram ad. Maybe it was the devil. No, I'm just kidding. But it was for a new alcoholic beverage that just came out. And this is what the promotional said. Remember, these are for non-Christian audiences, not Christian audiences, these videos. He's drinking it. He goes, oh, this is so good. You can't even taste the alcohol. That's how good it is. So why then? Why drink hard liquors and all that stuff if you don't enjoy the taste of it? You don't like the taste of alcohol. You like the taste of the stuff that they put in it to make it taste good and to hide it. And I'm not saying you to anybody here. I'm saying you to people that say you don't like the taste of alcohol. You know, and you're kidding yourself if you do, because it tastes disgusting. Somebody takes a shot of whiskey in a movie. They grit their teeth when they swallow it because it's disgusting. Somebody that's drank scotch right here, it tastes like coffee grounds and cough syrup. But I felt so cool doing it. One time that wasn't the only time, actually. Was that the one time I had hard liquor? That was the one time I had hard liquor in my life. I had scotch. I took two sips of it. I felt disgusting. It was so gross. The person I was with took it, chugged the whole thing. One shot. Boom. They went to the bathroom and puked. And we're all jacked up for the rest of the night. Hard liquors have no place in Christianity. I understand having a conversation about wine. I've already covered that. There's no place to have a conversation about hard liquors in Christianity. People will say things like, you know, I just don't feel convicted. The only way that I don't feel convicted works is if you are not sinning. I don't feel convicted about having a glass of alcohol. Okay, but do you get drunk? Have you gotten drunk before? If you have and you don't feel convicted, well, it doesn't matter if you don't feel convicted because the Bible says that it's wrong one way or the other. And I'd be concerned for you, and I don't believe someone that really has the Spirit of God doesn't feel convicted if they get drunk. I don't believe that. We have to be careful about these types of things. The question that I would want to propose to you, just as I kind of try to wrap this thing up, why do you drink alcohol? Why? There's so many other things to enjoy. I just went to Angel's Deli in Brookfield. Everybody likes that place, apparently. I don't know why. It's just a normal deli. It's just normal. It's just like Brookfield Deli. I went there today. I was with a student, and I saw that they had Joe's Diet Iced Tea, and it was good. And I went and I got it. Go get a Joe's Diet Iced Tea. For goodness sake, like go drink a tea. Go have a hot tea after a long day. Why not? Go ahead. Have yourself a Diet Coke. Why does it have to be alcohol? Are you looking for something from it that should be found in God? Are you looking for a peace or calm? Are you looking for relief that it will bring you?
Wine should not be a source that we turn to find rest, to find peace, to find comfort. There's so many better things to drink. So many better things to drink. I like diet strawberries and cream Dr. Pepper. It's good. Guess what? I can't get intoxicated by it. But watch this. I want to say this. If the Bible commanded that we not overload on caffeine, I would be extremely careful about having anything like even that, because the position of my heart is one that I want to please the Lord. That's where this all comes from. I want to please the Lord. I'm not trying to ruin anyone's fun. And I know this is being recorded, and so anyone watching this, I'm not trying to ruin your fun. I'm not trying to be a stick in the butt that just has a bunch of rules that says, don't do this, don't do that. That's not the type of person that I'm trying to be. I'm trying to save your life. The kids that we minister to in this youth group, if you pulled probably 1 in 4 of them aside, they would tell you that their life has somehow been impacted by alcohol in a negative way. My father was an alcoholic. I saw my father abuse my mother. My father cheated on my mom under the influence of alcohol. My life was this. My grandfather was like this to my father, and he treated me like this because of alcohol, because of the drink. I'll ask you this. If you can't put the bottle down, why? Why can't you put it down? What draws you to keep coming back to it? Why? Why can't you? Why can't you? Could you honestly take 3 months without drinking? And if you can't, I'd be very concerned. I don't understand how you can go that long without, like, case in point, I'll even say this. I should be able to go that time without eating a certain type of food that I like, without drinking something that I like, if I really needed to, right? Because I shouldn't be addicted to anything. The Bible says this: all things are lawful, or everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. You may say within yourself, well, I can have a glass of wine. Is it beneficial to you? Is it beneficial to your life? That's the question that I would propose. Does it help you? Does it benefit you in a way that in the Lord? Is it beneficial to you? It opens a door to things you don't want to go down. I've seen so many people's lives ruined by alcohol. I have friends that don't serve God anymore, that's lives are being taken over by alcohol. My friend that I told you about, that I went to that game with, kid gets plastered all the time. And then he sends me reels about not being on the fence between God and Satan. And I'm like, dude, like, what are you talking about? Now, this is someone, he's not a Christian. He grew up like in a Catholic church or whatever. He's just, we're working on him. But I've seen his life ruined. I've seen things that he does. He's such a great guy. But every weekend he blows all his money on alcohol. His life is consumed by it. Why go and get yourself involved with that? Why? I remember Evangelist Wesley, he preached a message on this a little bit. He talked about this one time. And at the time, I was under the impression that it was all good and well to, you know, have your drinks and stuff like that. And I remember feeling so convicted by what he was saying. And I remember even feeling so defensive about, what about this? What about that? All that type of stuff. I remember all of that. And I remember that feeling that I had when I was doing that. But I really brought it before the Lord. And I was like, this guy's right. This guy's right. He knows his stuff. He's studied. He knows what he's talking about. And so I chose a different way of life after that. I chose to say, nope, this is the way that we're going to do things. Me and Brianna, we don't have alcohol in our house. You know the one way I'm going to make sure that my kid doesn't grow up and become an alcoholic? My kid will never see me drink alcohol. So they'll never grow up and they'll never even want it. They won't go near it. We're going to keep it out of our house. I would strongly encourage you to refrain from alcohol. People begin to build up a tolerance to drinking as well. And then they keep drinking more and more and more. Scientifically, alcohol is the worst thing for your liver. Alcohol, if you study someone that's drank alcohol all their life, even casually, versus someone who's never drank before, their liver is significantly worse than someone who's never drank before. It can lead to all types of diseases. I don't want that for your life. I don't want that for you. I also think of the type of example that it sets to our students when we see people, when we see leaders drinking alcohol. If you're watching this later on, if you're a leader in your church, the type of example that it sets to people when they see that, they see you drinking alcohol and they come out of a history of alcoholism. Oh, maybe I can drink. Pastor so-and-so drinks, or this leader of the youth group, or this leader of this ministry drinks. We have to be mindful of these types of things. Here's how I'll kind of end this. If you choose to continue drinking after this teaching, don't post about it. And nobody here has, to my knowledge or understanding. You're a church leader. Don't post about it. Leave it off your Instagram. Nobody needs to see you with your drink on Instagram. Pastor Frank, by the way, what I'm saying right now is really from him in a lot of ways. He feels very strongly about this. And I agree with him. I'm just saying that I'm conveying a message from him. Pastor Frank loathes the idea of people posting, doing things that break the standard of leadership. He just can't stand it. And again, if you still choose to drink beyond this, that's your decision to be able to do that. I'm imploring you not to. I'm encouraging you not to. I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think anything good comes out of drinking alcohol. I just don't. Nothing good comes out of drinking alcohol. Only if I never drink, then I can never be overcome. I can never be under any type of influence. If I get a little buzzed, I might start to be looser to do things I would never do before if I wasn't buzzed. But if I don't even drink, I never have to worry about that. I can always be of sober mind. The enemy is looking for every opportunity to destroy you. He doesn't want Robin to fulfill Robin's purpose. He doesn't want that. The minute that Robin takes a drink of that, and her mind starts to get a little bit buzzed, the enemy's going to run with that, because the Bible says he's prowling around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. He's ready. He's like, yes, that's my opportunity. I don't even give him a foothold. I don't even give him a foothold in my life. So that's the first part. The second thing, if you choose to continue drinking, do not drink hard liquors, as there's no biblical precedent for this at all. You don't even have a leg to stand on. Like I said, the wine concentration between now and back then is night and day. It's two completely different things. In fact, wine back then would be closer to kombucha than it would be to what it is today. Would be closer to that than what it is today. But if you want to have a glass of wine, you don't find anything wrong with that. You don't have an issue with having a glass and you can keep yourself under control and you don't get drunk. You've never been drunk before, any of that type of stuff. That's between you and the Lord. But strong liquors have no place in believers. There is no biblical precedent for it. There's not. Whiskey is designed to make you black out. Why do you think it's called wine and spirits? Wine and spirits. A spirit would be a drink that would be a drink like whiskey, anything like that. Wine and spirits, there's a spiritual attachment to alcohol. There's a spiritual component. I had my cousin who's like not, I won't even say, actually, don't know which cousin I'm talking about. One of my cousins who's not even a Christian told me, came up, was talking to me, was like, you know, they say that wine and spirits because it's like a spiritual thing, drinking alcohol. So not even a Christian telling me that. Yeah, there is a spiritual attachment to alcohol, to the bottle. I encourage you to not drink. Don't do it. It's not worth your time. It's not worth your money. It's not worth your life. It's not worth it. Find something else that you like. Listen, I'm just saying, I've had some very nice wines. And like I said, I had a different view on this and I was completely off base on it. But, and I haven't drank in a long time or anything like that. But I had some good wines. Every time I, and like some good ones, like my uncle is like very wealthy and stuff. And he has like some good alcohol, like some good wine. And my grandfather gave me some. It was nice. It had that little one piece of ice in it or whatever. And like little thing. And I drank it. And when I tasted it, I thought to myself, if only this was grape juice. Because grape juice tastes a whole lot better. It's just grown-up grape juice. That's all it is, and it doesn't even taste good. It's like, why do grown-ups take the fun out of even beverages? Like, I would rather have a glass of sparkling grape juice any day of the week for the flavor of any wine. So the reason why I bring that up with saying about, you know, different wines and stuff, I've tasted different wines. It's not like I'm completely like, oh, he just grew up in church. His dad was a pastor and he doesn't get it. I get it. I understand. I've been there before. I've been in that cultural even background before where it's propagated. But that's where I will teach you from the word today and show you the best that I can. I tried today the best that I could to reason. I hope that nobody takes this as me trying to come down upon anyone. If you know somebody that drinks, that, oh, Pastor Joey just thinks they're the worst person ever. No, I didn't say that. I don't think that somebody's the worst person ever if they drink or whatever. But I don't think it's a wise thing to do. I don't think it's a wise thing to do. And my students that are in here, don't even think about it. You're not over 21. You'd be breaking the law of the land to have a drink anyway. So it's not even in question for you.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.